And welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, I'm great, thank you. I probably sound a bit scratchy, I'm sorry. My voice sounds a little bit strained, I think.
No, not at all. Have you been shouting at people?
I've been shouting at people. I haven't been doing my vocal warm-ups. It's been a nightmare.
When I was at drama school, I really thought that I would be the kind of person that would do a vocal warm-up every day.
Yeah, that sort of thing. What, like every day, just for everyday life?
Well, I don't know. I guess I thought I'd be acting more. I mean, I thought by now I'd be in the RSC, but I don't know. Look, it's just not happened that way. It's just not worked out like that for me.
The journey is a winding one.
And also, I do think Shakespeare's a bit overrated, so I don't know how much I'd thrive at the RSC.
Well, that's the thing. It's my guilty secret is I can't understand what it's about. I don't understand what they're going on about.
I've seen some productions that are great, and I've seen some that I'm like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, hon.
Like, do we need to see another production of A Midsummer Night's Dream?
Oh, no, thanks.
We've got the gist.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you know what? I couldn't sleep last night, Suze.
Oh, no, why?
I don't know. I don't know if it's because I was watching Downton Abbey and it was quite a violent bit about the First World War, but...
Oh, my God, you're the only person that would be like, I found Downton Abbey too troubling to sleep.
It was too traumatic. Downton Abbey was too upsetting. But normally I find it quite soothing, but I didn't this time.
Oh, Tom, I'm so sorry, dear.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to, I'd have to find a new bedtime watch, I suppose. That's the answer.
I've had trouble sleeping for the last, sort of, the tour starts... Well, when this goes out tomorrow, but today on Wednesday in Edinburgh. But the tours are, I've already done like 20 odd dates of it. I don't know why I like put myself under this enormous pressure. But of course, I am always me.
Of course. Well, we worry, don't we? We all worry.
We all worry. But I've been having like really anxious dreams, and I know that it's about being ready for the tour. But last night I dreamt I was on a date with someone that wasn't Alice. And in the dream I was like, what is wrong? Why does this feel weird? And then halfway through the day, you know how dreams like jump around. Mm, it's like, oh my God, I'm married with a baby. And I was like, I'm so sorry, I've got to go. I'm married with a baby. And I went, I was like, what does that mean?
What does that mean? I've completely forgotten. I'm actually married with a baby. I'm sure people have actually done that in real life, but you wouldn't do that.
I don't think that's would. Can you hear the trains in the distance?
No, Suze, you often say that. I can't hear the drums either, Fernando. I can't hear them. Can you hear me okay? I'm sorry about this microphone situation on the iPad.
Tom, I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, well, I thought that, you know, getting an iPad Pro would be the answer to all our prayers. But, of course, it's an iOS system and not a Mac system, so it's very complicated and everything's slightly more difficult than it needs to be.
I don't understand anything of what you just said. Well, I support you in everything you do.
It's only because I had to start Googling all this stuff about it just before we came on air. But anyway,
can you call it on air when you're just recording locally?
I mean, yes, I know.
Who knows? Now, Tom, I don't know whether I owe you an apology.
Why, Suze?
Well, because someone's got in touch.
Oh, no.
To say, they said, hey, babies. Sure.
Sure.
Sure. I've listened to this for years and I love it, but I've noticed recently that Uncle Susie is being rather cold in her responses to Tom.
Really?
For example, this week, Tom mentioned the Sega Master System, which is a legit thing, and Susie dismissed it like a Frosty Paxman.
I didn't remember that.
Neither do I. But then obviously I saw it last night and was like, oh, great, now I'm ruining my friendship with Tom. I'm dating other people in my sleep.
Lovely way to go to bed. No, I didn't notice
so
that.
So I'm just going to be really clear now. Tom, you can get fucked, okay?
Yeah, really, my little trips down memory lane. No, I don't please
have
don't
I been a Frosty Suze?
No, not a Frosty Suze at all.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I thought I'd check in.
A frosty Fiona? No.
Not even a little bit. Hey, did you ever have... I always wanted one, but I never got one. Do you remember those Mr. Frosty things where you would, like, make ice and you'd stir its tummy and you'd put it... You didn't.
We did.
You didn't?
It sat on top of the fridge for approximately 8 years. I don't know where we got it from, because that wasn't the sort of thing we would normally get. But somehow we did get one.
And you added, like, some sort of, like, cola syrup to it.
I think so. I think that ran out quite quickly, but yeah.
Did it do a lot of sitting on top of the fridge and not a lot of
bicycle making?
Oh god.
We didn't have slush puppies very often in the house.
No, but it's quite a luxury, isn't it, a slush puppy?
It really is, actually. And also in our climate, it's not that, you know, it's not like, oh, I would love that just to cool down.
Yes, we're not. Well, I mean, last summer, we lived through the heat wave, of course.
We did. That was intense, wasn't it? Do you remember all the roads melted?
Yes.
Too much. I would like to get one of those paddling pools. Somebody was telling me about a paddling pool they got during that time, and they just sat in the paddling pool and drank wine. I thought that's nice.
I can see you in a paddling pool with a mimosa. And I support
that's it. Me, isn't it? That's me all over. I can't help it.
I think you could fit a small pool in your garden. I think take out the sunken trampoline and put in a plunge pool.
Take out the sunken trampoline.
It's actually a Gershwin number.
I like the idea of that swimming pool they've got in, you know, Call Me By Your Name. Did you watch that?
Yes, I did. Something about a peach and some gay stuff?
Yeah, I never saw that bit. I don't know why. Well, you see, I do.
What, did you slip out for a wee at the wrong point or something?
Maybe. Typical me. It's bloody typical,
isn't it?
That's
that little bladder of yours.
I'm normally pretty good. I mainly watched it for the just sort of, you know, interiors. And,
of course.
Like I do with so many films. And this one had a lovely sort of plunge pool. It was above ground. It was like a sort of little pond they went in. And they sort of splashed about it in the hot Italian sun.
Well, do that, Tom. Do that for maybe that one week like of the that year when it's warm.
Yeah, it would be nice when it was warm. And I'd like to have some sort of trickling water feature.
Yes.
If possible.
I don't know that would be good for needing a wee.
Oh, that's what people say, isn't it? You need a wee all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, well, I'll think about it. So I do love the idea of a trickling water feature.
It would be nice.
Or maybe one of those
internal. Would you have it sort of like spitting out of like a cherub's mouth?
I think so, yeah.
That sort of thing.
When I remember I had a friend at school called Ryan at primary school.
His
family had a Tudor Beam house.
No, double clang.
Double clang. My mum was hugely envious and they were very nice. And they had like a water feature in the front hall.
In the hall?
Yeah. It was like water trickling down.
An indoor feature?
Like a little feature, yeah, in the inside. It was very glamorous.
I don't know that goes with Tudor beams, though. Surely, like, if you're living in a Tudor house, you've got to go, well, I'm going to commit to the Tudor lifestyle.
Well, it was modern Tudor beams, Sue, so, you know, it's a bit more...
I think they're called Bromley beams.
Are they really?
No.
Oh.
I'm just thinking because there's those houses in Bromley that you drive past and they've all got Tudor beams.
Oh, Bromley beams, yeah. Well, there's a lot of them that are part of the arts and crafts movement, which, of course, are very beautiful, very ornate inglenook fireplaces, etc., very medieval. They're very nice. Not listed, though, so people do sort of turn them into, like, horror. People don't respect the integrity of them, which is one of my... Architectural integrity is one of my big things, actually, listeners, so if you want to get in touch about that, feel free.
Oh, Tom, it's so great. We've been friends for
so long.
Way more than a decade, and it's great to still find out new things about you.
Well, it drives Alfie mad, I think, when I'm like, we're going on a walk and I'm like, why would you put that colour window in? Why would you put that window in this house? It's obviously
not.
Yeah,
it sounds like a lovely way to spend a Sunday.
Really nice way to spend time, and Alf just
while he hums a Disney tune.
Yes, he just probably just trying to think about anything else.
So that's that.
That's that. Now, Suze, have there been some correspondence?
Tom, I finally hacked into the mainframe.
What did you find in there?
I mean, so many emails. So many emails. We are knee deep in emails for weeks, but it's great. So much fun. So much great stuff.
Oh, that's so much great stuff.
So many suggestions.
Oh, great.
So much chit chat.
Great.
Should we have a correspondence episode?
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. If anybody wants a message about pelargoniums, because mine are doing well, but then I was away for a couple of days and they've gone a bit saggy.
Oh, I thought they were a type of bird.
No, I don't think they are, unless they start to fly away.
Who knows?
I'm just a bird.
I want to fly away. Who is that, Nelly Furtado?
Yeah.
Cool. Dear Susie and Tom, medium-time listener, after finding and binging your back catalogue last summer, first-time caller, I wanted to get your advice on how to handle running into an ex on the scene. That's hard.
Wow.
I got dumped a few weeks ago by a guy who I thought was going to be the one after dating for about 6 months. I decided to retreat into my shell for a while I grieved the relationship lost and wait until the feelings had mellowed before making contact with him again.
Very wise.
A couple of months, maybe. Let's see how it goes. Everyone moves on at their own pace, yada, yada, yada. However, I went for a walk on Friday night as I was house-sitting for a friend in Vauxhall.
Oh, well, there's your issue there.
I live in Sussex, clang, but fancied a change of scenery.
Well, that is a change, yeah.
And 5 minutes into the walk, there he is, coming towards me down the street on his way to a club night. We said hello and sort of just stood there for a minute awkwardly before I said bye and walked away. I felt so foolish for putting myself in the wrong place at the wrong time because I'm not ready to see him yet. And those couple of minutes have consumed my weekend since.
Oh.
It was going to happen at some point, but I had hoped to manage the first contact a bit better rather than being a surprise to us both. We're both long-term residents of the London bear scene.
So this
will keep happening as there are only so many bars and clubs to go to. How do you deal to running into one's ex when the feelings haven't quite settled? Many thanks for reading this and for giving us 30 minutes of wonderful like-minded content every week. Bye, 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 bye. Do you think I should share his name, Tom?
Well, I suppose maybe we shouldn't share the name just because it does feel a bit personal.
Yes, let's not, just in case.
And since there are only like, as
seven
they say,
bears.
Only seven bears on the
And Yogi. Thing.
And Yogi. I think, I mean, I've always really liked the bear scene, so I just thought it was quite friendly.
Bears are very friendly, I find.
Yeah, so it's a lot more relaxed. Anyway, that's not what we're not talking about.
We're not talking about the bear scene. But it feels like everyone's welcome.
Everybody's welcome. Bring a friend. Well,
running into an ex, Tom.
Bumping into an ex is tough, isn't it? And that's kind of a nightmare because, you know, if one is a like-minded friend like myself who tends to get hung up on things.
Hung up on you.
Oh, yeah. Then it, of course these kind of these moments linger in our minds, you know, and they kind things are played out in our minds in advance and indeed afterwards. So it's very, very stressful for us, sensitive little people that we are. I think though, give yourself credit. I think sort of in those situations, it's really easy to be like it sounded like they were going, oh, I'm annoyed, I put myself in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, you didn't, you're just walking on the road.
Yeah, don't be too hard on yourself. Also, you know, you didn't like hide
in
the bush and then have them see you.
Yes, which would be.
Like, which would have been terrible.
Yeah.
But I had really similar stuff with an ex who was sort of still in a friendship group that I was in. So I would like run into her and every time I saw her, it was really sad for me. I would always get really hammered, which made her really think that she'd made the wrong decision by breaking up with me. But I found it so sad and so upsetting. But in a way, like retrospectively, I'm like, oh great, that means that I'm definitely human and that I like really tried to make a relationship work. And even though it didn't, I was sort of still putting myself out there. And that's a really good thing. And, I think that I'm a better... I think I'm so much more a compassionate person for having had such a terrible breakup.
And I think you're a compassionate person with yourself as well, which is the main thing.
Like, I think I'm a better wife to Alice because I, like, navigated a bit of heartbreak.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that... Yeah, you know, like, you're entitled to be happy and you're entitled to be... protect yourself, aren't you? And, like, not be... you don't have to beat yourself up. And
yeah, I agree.
Everything. Just be kind to yourself and just go, hey, you're on your journey. And of course, it does stir up all those emotions, but that's fine. And I think as time goes by, that's like fallout period afterwards kind of gets shorter.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then eventually you will just see him in a bear night and be like, huh, yeah, I used to really have feelings for you.
Yeah.
And that happened, and now I'm in a different relationship, or I'm in a different space, and that's just like a memory rather than something that's unbelievably painful to drag up.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think you give yourself space and time, and you know you don't need to. You need to be chasing that Vauxhall scene.
Yeah, you can't be. You will exhust yourself if you chase the Vauxhall.
And I reckon nowadays there's more gays in Sussex than there are in Vauxhall.
Oh, do you know what? Since I've moved down, I think so.
They've all followed. They've all followed you, Sue. It's like the Pied Piper you are.
Piper of gays.
Piper of gays. Yeah, that is a tough one, isn't it? But then, you know, we can't all be... I don't know what I was going to say then. I don't know. It doesn't even make any sense.
None of it makes any sense. But I hope you're okay. Don't give yourself a hard time. Just don't give yourself a hard time.
Just don't.
Right. Here we go. We have another one.
Oh.
We have so many lovely messages today, Tom. Ready? Here we go. Dearest Suze and Tom, hell hath no fury than a boy whose jumper is stained.
Oh, lovely. Bit of wordplay.
The other day, I was listening to your pod while drunk. We encourage this. If you're not drinking, start drinking now. And laughed so hard, I spilt barbecue sauce and stained it all down my favourite jumper.
Oh, no.
Here's the issue with Will. That's who's written in. He hasn't told us what he's eating. But I assume it must be something...
Barbecue.
A barbecue something. A
burger. Or maybe he was just eating barbecue sauce on its own, which wouldn't be... I wouldn't put past a lot of the people who do listen to this show.
Would you do it with a teaspoon or just your tongue?
I think they would probably just squirt it straight in from the bottle.
Right. Okay.
But I think that that sounds like a nightmare. Did you treat the stain quickly? That's what my mum would always say.
Well, here's the thing. Not even my mum's advice can get the stain out.
Shit.
Horror show. Anyway, I'm a new listener to the pod and I enjoy it so much. I don't have any gay friends and it's nice to have you two to relate to as I don't get much queer chat in my day-to-day life. I've always felt a bit misplaced being gay in such a straight environment, but when I've tried to fit into queer spaces, I feel like I've been rejected. But you two have made me feel very comfortable in who I am. I realise I don't need to force myself into anywhere or to anything, and I don't need gay friends to be grey. My friends love me for who I am, so does that really matter? No.
No, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd like to circle back to your discussion about buffets.
Oh, gosh, yeah, wow.
In my opinion, a good wake is based on how good the spread is. My best friend died due to cancer at 21. Oh, heartbreaking. I miss her a lot. And shout out to her because she always backed me up against the homophobes at school. However, the spread at her wake was pretty lackluster. When I die, if the food and drink at my funeral isn't 10 out of 10, I will come back to haunt everyone.
That's a very important thing, yeah.
I'm keeping my eye out for both your stand-up shows near me so I can come and show my full appreciation for you in real life. Yours faithfully, a homosexual. P.S. Tom, I bet you're glad you didn't come to Warwick Uni as it makes you feel like the only gay in the village. P.P.S. If anyone has any good stain removals, please let me know.
Wow, lots of interesting points to talk about there. I'm glad I didn't go to Warwick for a number of reasons. That sort of feels like that was a good one. But sorry that you're having that experience, listener. And I think as well, I don't know if you find this, Suze, but because, and sort of, dare I say, circling back to the previous correspondence, that I think often, as like-minded friends, to find each other is actually often a rare thing. We forget, you know what I mean? Like, the numbers are just fewer.
We forget how lucky we are.
Well, yeah. To have each other, to be part of this blessed, chosen people. But I always found, like, if I met somebody that I, like, loosely got on with, I'd be like, they're the one, this must be
it. Yes, yes. Whereas
people are like, no, I'm not going to, like, I would be, like, the first person that showed any interest in me. I'd be like, I guess this is going to be it. And literally would do those cliche things of projecting ahead. Whereas I think, like, maybe for some people, particularly straight people who have lots of, a veritable buffet, and a great spread, they maybe it isn't such a sort of issue. Or maybe if you're just very attractive and you just have lots of options, I don't know.
Yes, I feel like if you're really fit.
Yeah, you get loads of choice.
No, but I do think you're right. I remember, like, when I first met another gay woman, I was like, great, there's another one.
Yeah.
Cat, perchance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Pickford's, yeah, it's reversing onto the drive. I think Pickford's is like a local removal firm. I don't know if that's...
I got the reference.
We got the reference, yeah.
It didn't matter. But yes, I think it's very easy to feel like that, like there's no other gays in the village. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that at Warwick Uni there's not a gay sock.
I don't know. I think there might be.
But I'm using
might...
sock like society, like Americans would.
Not like a lovely leg warmer. Yeah. Yeah,
not like that.
That would be a gay sock, I think.
Leg warmers are gay socks, yeah.
Leg warmers. Maybe pop socks.
Probably. Not trainer socks. They're very straight. That's straight culture.
Very straight culture. No, thank you. Get out of this. You get out of
Get out of town.
I think, yeah, but maybe, I don't know, is it a bit like, because I could be a bit contrary. Like, I want to be out and proud, but I don't want to be out and proud with all the other out and proud people. So maybe this person is like that. They feel like
maybe
the gay sock is
too gay.
It's maybe not their type of gay. I think like a lot of community groups and society groups, they're designed to be like, oh, let's all celebrate our inclusivity. But of course, some of us don't want to be included with that lot. And that lot can be anybody.
Such an old tart.
I know. I don't. Oh no, I'm not like that.
Oh, I want equality, but can I have more equality than them?
I just want my own sort of equality, if that's okay. Thank you.
I feel like that mainly revolves around top hats and canes. Yes, how long do you think before you have a cane?
What did I do before I had a cane?
No, how long do you think before you have a cane that you use?
Well, I don't know, actually. It's a matter of moments, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah, I've got the umbrella stand is doing quite well in the hall. I'm sort of cultivating a nice collection of umbrellas and such.
I've just got ones that I've stolen from nice hotels.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Marriott, yes, please. Soho yes. House, thanks very much.
Well, that's a good idea.
The Grand in Belfast, I'll take it.
You've got a nice hat stand, as I remember, haven't you?
Oh, Tom, do you know what? That hat stand broke because I have simply too many coats.
Oh, dear. You're like Joseph.
No, he just had one really nice one.
He just had one really nice one, yeah.
I've got several quite nice ones.
Oh, okay.
I'm blessed.
She's blessed, everybody.
I'm so sorry about your friend, Will. That must be heartbreaking to lose such a dear friend.
Yes.
And, you know, a lackluster wake buffet, it's not... You need more, don't you?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Yes.
Do you think a hot buffet at a wake?
Well, I suppose you could. I suppose it depends where you're holding the wake.
And where you're waking.
Where you're waking, yeah. What sort of things? I mean, we had sandwiches at Dad's funeral, but...
Yes.
Sorry?
I liked them.
Did you? I didn't really rate them, actually. I was quite disappointed with them. And the sausages on... We had sausages. The sausages in honey mustard.
You know what I'm like, Tom. I just eat, don't I?
Well,
I just eat until they're tempted.
We want people to eat. But I was a bit. I thought the sandwiches were a bit.
So you thought they were lackluster?
I thought they were a bit lackluster. Yeah.
Maybe it's the energy with which you take to a funeral. I don't know. Yeah. If you're longing for someone that you're very close to, I don't know that the food's ever going to be good enough.
Yes, there's only so much. Yeah, I don't know if yeah, if we had
so
like,
much a cocktail sausage can do.
There's only so, as many listeners will know,
which is actually going to be on our new merch.
Yeah, there's only so much a cocktail sausage can do. Exactly, exactly. But I really like them. So that's that.
Me too. Shall we have one more email, Tom?
Let's have one more. Because I know you've got to go, haven't you?
Well, I'm going to hot yoga, of course.
Oh, the yoga short. Oh.
Dear Susie and Tom, I'm a gay man and been in a relationship for nearly 9 years with my boyfriend, Stephen. I recently discovered your podcast and have been listening fervently. Am I saying that right? Fervently to back episodes. I've also got my boyfriend hooked on it too, and we recommend it to others. Brackets, you're welcome.
Thank you. After
listening to Susie speak, we have discovered something about ourselves that we never knew.
What's that?
We are two gay men who would seem to fit right in to lesbian culture.
Oh, that's great. Tell us more.
I can't remember what it was exactly, but there have been numerous things you've said that made me realise how much better we would be as lesbians. Robert Dyers, yes. B&Q, yes. Homemade hummus, yes.
Oh, that's huge, isn't it?
As such, I provided a list of things and would like an actual lesbian to confirm if this would fit into lesbian culture.
They want to be ordained as lesbians.
Yes. Learning to sew, yes. Homemade Christmas decorations, I'd say yes. Homemade kefir, 100%. Pottery, couldn't be more lesbian.
Hands down, on the wheel.
Well, on the wheel, yes. A desire for everything I own to be preferably homemade, brackets by me. I think yes, quite. Reading in bed by 9:30, strict lights out at 10:30. Yes, 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 yes.
That does sound
Mother
strong.
May I. Obsessive trips to the kitchen.
You just said mother may I?
Mother may I, yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know, it's just something I'm occasionally throwing around. Alice hates it. It's when I really want to do something, I say, mother may I?
That's lovely. That's
I feel
really
like
nice.
That's gay culture. That's I feel like I've heard a drag right queen say it.
You're just creating it. Yeah, you're just rolling it out. Yeah.
Obsessive trips to the kitchen section of John Lewis and never buying anything. Yes.
Sure.
A walking holiday. Yes.
Yeah.
A desire to live in the countryside surrounded by dogs and ideally minimal people. I would say yes again. Please let me know if any other lesbian activities, bar the obvious, that I can add to my list of activities that I know I'll enjoy. Thank you for your podcast. Just listening to you two chat is a joy I never knew I needed. By times 10, your token lesbian, but actual gay man, Chris.
Chris,
Chris
and Steve.
Welcome to the fold, the lesbian fold.
Wow.
Which is a labia. No. Yes, it seems that you are lesbian culture, Chris. I would say a couple more things you could maybe bring to the fore.
What do you think?
Potentially owning a cat.
Sure. Cats are very strong lesbian culture, yeah.
Standing on the beach looking wistfully at the sea.
Oh, yeah. What, winter beach then?
Yeah, winter beach, yes.
Wrapped up in some sort of North Face.
Well, it could be a North Face or, you know, a shawl if you wanted to be sort of maybe a lesbian from the 20s.
Oh, that is very...
Yeah, that's sort of something...
Heritage lesbian, yeah.
Yes. I would say, I mean, I'm assuming, I don't wish to assume, I feel like, you know, that's not a great thing to do to any gay person, but I'm guessing that Chris probably has some walking shoes.
Mm.
Comfy shoes, I would say, is peak lesbian culture.
And sandals, of course.
And, of course, sandals, the summer walking shoe. Mm. Sad books. We're going to want some sad books.
Are you thinking Virginia Woolf sad, or are you thinking...
Maybe Virginia Woolf sad, anything... Carol, you know, those sorts of sad lesbian
novels.
Lovely
and sad, yeah.
A wide leg trouser with a pleat down the front. Again, this is sort of 1920s les, which is very much a look.
You sort of disappeared into it, yeah.
It's a look that I'm really trying to cultivate at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's something for Chris and Steve to bear in mind.
An obsession with Cate Blanchett.
Ah, right, nice, yeah.
Maybe that's something.
What about, I was going to say bouldering.
What's bouldering?
So when you like, it's like climbing, but it's like over a rock.
Yes, I think there are lesbians that do that sort of thing. The thing is, you've got to remember, is I'm a theatrical one.
Okay, subdivision.
I'm subdivision.
Theatrical.
Theatrical sock.
Okay. Okay.
Which is actually a rainbow sock.
Rainbows. Yeah. What about using a slow cooker, I think?
I would say yes, using a slow cooker.
Yeah.
Lesbian culture. Meeting someone and thinking, let's get married tomorrow.
Well, you do that even in your dreams, even though you're already married.
Of course, I'm already married. I'm a bigamy. Bigamist?
You're a bigamy. You're bigger than me.
I'm a bigamy. Yeah. I'm a bigger me. Okay?
You're a bigger me.
I'm a bigger me than I've ever been. But I'm going to continue thinking for Chris about lesbian culture for him next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, keep thinking about that. I think this is a real strand, as they say, a real thread.
A real thread. Oh, my God, look at us. What is it, 7 years in and finally?
Finally, we've hit our stride.
I'm
trying to think, yeah, other sort of kitchen accoutrements. I imagine like the gadget section of a kitchen shop would be quite
Yes, that would be very, very much where I would feel happy.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, like 100%.
I'm thinking about like...
A blender,
yeah.
A whisk.
Yes. What about one of those runner bean strimmers? Have you ever used one of those?
No, I haven't, but of course I'd love to.
You'd love to use
one of those things that you see on TikTok that cuts eggs.
I was going to say that, and then I thought you had an aversion to boiled eggs.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, you like
eggs.
An egg slicer. Yeah, I definitely saw an egg slicer in this, yeah.
In my future.
I see an egg slicer in your future, yeah. I think this is going to just grow and grow, isn't it?
This is going to grow and grow. No, I do have one more email that I would like to read
very
quickly.
Oh, please, Susie, yes.
Hello, wonderful Susie and Tom. Firstly, thank you so much for your wonderful podcast. I'm a latecomer to Like-Minded Friends, so I'm playing catch-up. Here's the thing. I booked tickets months ago to see Susie in Brighton on the 23rd of March. It's totally sold out. And I've just been given two tickets from friends who can no longer attend. So would any like-minded friend like a free ticket to come and see Susie? I give consent to give you my email address to anyone who responds. So this is very, very kind from Stephen Canning. I've got a tour show in Brighton, 23rd, it's next week.
Lovely sense.
And Stephen is offering the tickets for free. So get in touch with me, send me an email, and maybe you can make a like-minded friend, which would be just so lovely. I just thought it was so kind of Stephen.
What a lovely thing to do. You could become friends.
Stephen, stick around afterwards. Say hello to me. I always like meeting like-minded friends. So email in. You know the email. It's hello@likemindedfriendspod.com. And now that I know the email address, I can actually check it.
Oh, that's wonderful. What an exciting proposition. I think this is going to be growing and growing.
It's growing and growing. Before we go, Tom.
Yes, it
is. You on tour this week, dear?
On tour, we've got Buxton, we've got Harrogate, we've got Combe, the Mooney Theatre in Combe.
Do you think you have to do Moonies?
Well, that's what I said.
Are you going to do a little Mooney through the curtain?
Yeah, maybe.
Moonies are always funny.
They are, to an extent.
Always funny, someone mooning.
Oh, I'm not at the Combe. Oh, yeah, I am Combe Mooney on Saturdays. So I'm up that way, basically, aren't I?
Oh, very nice. Well, listen, Tom, I hope you have a lovely time.
Well, thanks, Suze. Thank you. And don't you stress about a thing.
I won't.
But I know
I'll try to be less snappy.
No,
you're fine. Stupid bitch.
Nice, comforting, in a monologue. That's the main thing. Healthy, happy.
Happy.
Lovely.
Okay, dearest. Well, I'll see you next week, shall I?
Well, I'll see you
a bit
next
more
week.
Of this.
I've seen you before. Okay.
If it's don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window.
If I don't see you through the window, yeah, for sure. Okay.
Okay, all right.
Love you.
Love you. Bye. 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 Bye.